This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, 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 what do we have here? It is indeed the Wojo and Rieger Show on 97.1 The Ticket. Phone number 248-539-9797. That's also the ticket text. And I did it in the crosswalk. I fingered the culprit, so to speak. It's Valeni. Because he was embracing the Lions this year. He was liking the new regime, liking the draft picks. And what in God's name is going on? We knew they were banged up a little bit in that loss to Minnesota. And we knew they, you know, DeAndre Swift's shoulder might be out for a little bit. But then out comes the injury report today, and I won't belabor it. Yes, I will. Well, I don't want to, but I will. In case you haven't heard it, you're on your way home. But this must have been foreshadowed, because the Lions opened the week, this week, I believe, as 6.5-point favorites over the Seattle Seahawks, who are in their first rebuild in a while. Their defense is awful. Their offense is not good either. But that spread immediately has dropped down to about 4 as word continues to leak out. Now, I'm an aficionado of NFL practice reports, okay? I've seen them before, and they can be deceptive. Like, you can have a player, you know, doubtful or no practice Wednesday, and then no practice Thursday, and then boom, questionable Friday, and then they play. That happens a lot, okay? So I'm not going to completely freak out. But talk about an unfortunate circumstance. If you're going to get a whole batch of injuries, and I know you don't get to choose when you do it as an NFL team, but if you're going to, wouldn't you rather get them when you're about to play a tough team that you would probably lose to anyhow, right? Don't you want to be healthy and take care of business against a team you, I won't say probably we're going to, but should beat? The Seahawks, you should. Well, here it is, okay, and it'll lead to my quick take coming up next. All of these players, it says next to their name, it gives a body part, and then it gives a practice status, and they're all no practice. Chris Board, John Kaminsky, T.J. Hockenson, Jonah Jackson, Bobby Price, Frank Ragnow, Josh Reynolds, Austin Siebert, whatever, Amon Rice, Ross St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, and DJ Shark had limited practice. That's like their offense, isn't it? 1, 2 offensive linemen, 2, 3 T.J. Hockenson, receivers and tight. Josh Reynolds, my God. Can they activate Jameson Williams fast enough? Holy smoke, it's going to be Jamal Williams and, some of these guys will be Khalif Raymond. And Jared Goff. So let me ask you this. 248-539-9797. That's also the ticket text. And I can take your ticket text. We have some minutes before the Tigers continue stampeding their way up the AL Central standings. Oh, yeah. They can catch the Royals, pal. I don't know who I'm talking to as pal. But, yeah, they can. They can. And they're playing them again tonight. Big comeback win last night. Oh, whatever. Okay. Here's my thought on this. Okay, my first thought on this was, okay, these are a lot of maintenance days, and why? I mean, we knew Swift would probably be out, and why bother practicing him when he's probably going to be out? Hockenson, I guess, and Joe Frank Ragnow back on the list with a foot, but still, should they? Can they? Will they beat the Seahawks? I consider this. You know me, long been accused of taking the optimistic view of things, looking on the bright side, right? Mr. Brightside over here, right? Right? Here's how I'm going to view this. You're up, Mr. Goff. Jared Goff has been champing at the bit. By the way, it's champing at the bit, not chomping at the bit. Champing at the bit to stamp this team as his own. And he's got an offensive coordinator he connects with in Ben Johnson. He's been more and more vocal. He's been pretty darn accurate. Hasn't made too many mistakes this year. I wouldn't say he's had a great year, but he's had a good year. He's had a good year that makes you go, he keeps going, you might have a decision. And then came after the last game, the 28-24 loss to the Vikings, when I don't think what he said was egregious at all, but people ran with it. And basically what he said when Dan Campbell opted to kick an unkickable field goal instead of going for it on 4th and 4, our guy Jared Goff said, well, and I'm paraphrasing here, well, yeah, I thought we were going to go for it. I kind of wish I had said something to Dan and said, yeah, let's go for it on 4th and 4. And then he said, but and the next day, but then I didn't really have a play in mind that I could immediately offer. So I figured maybe I shouldn't. And okay, to me, that's just a guy being honest. Like, they wanted everybody to know. Right or wrong, I mean, it's open discourse, you know, the coach allows everyone to talk, and that's fine. They wanted to say, yeah, we wanted to go for it, 4th and 4. And they were given cover to say that because they knew right before the locker room opened and they talked that Dan Campbell had said, yeah, I blew it, we should have gone for it. So that doesn't surprise me that it was free reign. Taylor Decker said the same thing. Yeah, I thought we were going to go for it. Wish we'd gone for it. And rather than it become a kerfuffle, like, oh, why is Jared Goff so meek and timid? Why didn't he? I didn't detect that at all. I really didn't. I detected that as his announcement, so to speak, and he somewhat reiterated it today when he spoke, was his proclamation that, yeah, I think I am going to start taking more and more control when need be. And to me, that is the positive that could come out of this because it's on him on Sunday. Now, not many, depending on how many of these guys, starters, actually play or actually sit out, I don't know what it will be. But NFL teams often have several starters on offense sitting out a game and somebody seizes command, such as the quarterback. This is what Goff says said today on if he had talked to Campbell about him being more vocal about play call decisions late in the game. He said, no, he's hard enough on himself. He wishes what he would have done. We may have done it differently. And again, if we make the kick and stop them, it doesn't matter. But I think I was saying that more so like moving forward. I'd like to step in there, moving forward and in the right direction. I won't step in, I don't think, if I don't think it's the right decision. But if I do truly, truly believe in it and want to stand behind it, I will. Okay. Now, his previous comments were, you know, after the fact and nothing you can do. Okay, now this counts as before the fact. From here on going forward, it's kind of like the Matthew Stafford thing. What year was he in under Patricia? He was in his 9th year in the league or whatever, and he was yelling at the sidelines when they called a timeout, and he'd gotten the first down against Arizona. Trust me! Trust me! I kind of think this is Jared Goff's trust me moment. In a slightly different way. Okay, actually a largely different way. And who knows if this situation will ever come up again this year. Who knows if it's going to be, I mean, it probably will, but late in the game, 4th and 2 or 3, do you go for it? Do you punt? Do you kick the field goal? And what will Jared Goff do? What will Jared Goff say? Now, I would say this. If the Lions field their team this coming Sunday and don't have TJ Hockenson, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, maybe you do just punt it. Or you don't kick the field goal either because Austin Siebert didn't practice either with a groin. Wonder how that got strained. So this point going forward now, and again, this might not be the perfect example of going forward on fourth down this Sunday. It is the perfect example of Jared Goff. Let's see what he can do now emboldened in the offense, with more time in the offense, with the offensive coordinator that he likes and Dan Campbell likes. And you say, no, that's still asking too much. Well, hold on. Remember that six-game stretch down the stretch last year when they were 3-3 with him as a starter and he had nobody to throw to, and all of a sudden they sort of created, or Amon-Ra St. Brown arrived, thing, and Jared Goff found him, and Khalif Raymond made some plays, and Josh Reynolds out of nowhere, right? You still have Jamal Williams. You still have DJ Shark, hopefully, theoretically. Yes, I think we'll spend the next 3 days, 4 days. I know we will. I know how we operate here in Detroit and here at 97.1 The Ticket. We'll be lamenting the Lions' sore lock and what are they going to do? And, oh, boy, I had this chalked up as a win, and now it looks like a loss. And I'm not going to do that. Seahawks suck, okay? They're purposely sucking. I mean, they're finally going through a rebuild after years with Russell Wilson. Geno Smith, I know, I've seen his stats. He completes like 77% of his passes. He's like ninth in the league in quarterback rating, but he's not dangerous. He doesn't run like people think he runs. He's certainly not a scramble all over the place type of quarterback. The Lions still have many of their key players on defense. You know, and I could also say, don't put it on Jared Goff. How about put it on the defense? No, I want to put it on Jared Goff because I actually think he's in a position, and you just sort of see it in just sort of signs and visuals and his command on the field and being there in Minnesota. I mean, he was scaring the poop out of those Vikings fans. A few of those scrambles and the crowd was groaning. Oh my God. What is this crappy team that we always beat? What are they doing? Who is this Jared Goff? Just one game. I get it. Just one game. And it technically was a loss. That hasn't changed. But I am not throwing in the white towel for you Lions fans this week. And I don't think you should throw in the white towel this week, even if all these guys that didn't practice today, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 of them, even if none of them play Sunday, and some of them will. I'm sure some of them will. I'm sure Swift will not be one of them, but some of them will. You still, and I'm not doing the must-win game, but yes, you still can and need to win that game. And you want to add one more to it besides Jared Goff? I'll take one from the defensive side. Let's see more out of Aiden Hutchinson. I know he's a rookie. I also know he's the second overall pick in the draft. And I know the Lions have struggled at times to get pressure on the quarterback. Geno Smith, you can get pressure on him. Like I said, he's not as elusive maybe as he once was or once was perceived to be. So that's my clarion call. That's my shout from the mountaintop, all right? Jared Goff, in a way, sort of made a statement after the game. Next time I should say something. He said it again today. Yeah, if I think there's a right decision to be made, I am going to be more vocal and say something. So here it is. Perfect opportunity wrapped in an imperfect opportunity for Jared Goff to take command of the Lions in a key situation Sunday. Big game. Tigers baseball next. 97.1 The Ticket.